The exact healing that she needed came through faster than she could even imagine. She looked at me and said, "Wow, I didn't even have to work for that. Miracles are natural." Then she shut her eyes and listened to the meditation. Coming out of the meditation, Jenny felt clear, energized, and released the negativity and tension she had been holding. When you pray, you get out of the way. Making prayer a daily practice will help you feel the flow of synchronicity and universal support all the time. Your connection to the universe will be present in all things. You'll think of something and it will appear. You'll set an intention and it will come into form. Practice your faith like a full-time job and try not to interfere with the universe's plan. Your faith and non-interference will make you feel relaxed. That relaxed state is the portal to receive universal guidance. Universal lesson. As long as you remain surrendered and committed to the highest good, everything you need will be shown to you. Step 4. Heighten your faith. The next step in co-creating with the universe is to create a faith statement. This exercise begins with a question. What would your life be like if you knew you were always being guided? Take a moment to free write your response. What would you do differently if you knew that the universe had your back? Do you have spiritual proof that the universe is in fact guiding you? Write your story. If you don't have proof yet, you will by the time you complete this book. Feel free to revisit this lesson later. Feel the faithful energy that this story ignites. If you don't have your own spiritual proof, it's fine to lean on someone else's story or any of the stories in this book. Take a few moments to tap into the feelings of faith that these stories ignite. How does it feel to be in faith? What does your faith give you the freedom to do or be? Now let's create a faith statement. This statement helps you access your commitment to the universe and the positive co-creation of your life. The goal is to make a faith statement that ignites a feeling of love, connection, and inspiration within you. This statement can be whatever you want it to be. My faith statement is, I know that the universe is an ever-present energy field of love. I know that when I align with the energy of love through thoughts, actions, and beliefs, I am given infinite support and guidance. I know that I can co-create my reality with this loving presence so that I can live in joy and spread light. Reading this statement out loud moves me to tears. That's the goal. Write a faith statement that moves you from your core. Use some of what you've already written down in your responses above and write a statement that locks you into a heart-centered state of faith in the universe. Write your faith statement and don't edit a word. Write down whatever comes out. Don't judge what you write and don't try to make it perfect. Just let it flow. You can always expand upon your faith statement, so don't feel stuck in what you write. Step 5. Commit to your faith statement. Now that you have a faith statement, it's time to have some fun. For the next 24 hours, commit to living in faith. Begin now by reading your faith statement out loud to yourself, followed by this mantra. I trust in my connection to the universe, and I have faith I'm being guided. For the next 24 hours, walk through life leaning on your faith in the universe. When something feels in sync, celebrate it as a moment of alignment. When something goes wrong, recognize it as a detour in the right direction, offering you guidance and support. Choose to see all that occurs as loving guidance. Forgive your negative thoughts and actions and immediately return to your faith statement. If the thought of relying on your faith intimidates or overwhelms you, remember, this should be fun. It's a radical and awesome experiment in what it's like to live with trust in the universe and a commitment to love. Just for today, let's see how it feels to lean toward faith and love, no matter what. At the end of the 24-hour period, take some time to reflect on your experience. In your notebook, take an inventory of the miracle moments and write down an honest intake of when you resisted the support of the universe. If you enjoyed this exercise, keep it going. Continue to test drive your faith daily. Have fun with the practice of getting in sync with the universe. If your spiritual practice feels like work, then it becomes another thing to cross off your to-do list. The more playful and curious you are on your spiritual path, the more synchronicity you will witness. Co-create your experience with a sense of joy and an open mind. Savor the journey. While you complete this exercise, you'll get a glimpse of freedom that is available to you now. Committing to 24 hours of freedom is easy because you know that the next day you can go back to controlling and worrying. As much as you don't like it, you probably feel safe there. But my hope is that you'll find so much joy in your 24-hour experiment that you'll turn to it more often, even if it's for short periods of time. Let this practice become part of your spiritual routine. Give yourself freedom breaks from the chaos you create in your mind and your reality. These breaks can be a reprieve from all that you think you need to make and all that you think you need to control. Know that you can take an inner vacation whenever you choose, letting in light to allow your creative energy to come forth and attract you to what you desire. When you take time off from your chaotic and fearful ways, you begin to create new experiences. The fleeting moments of freedom you experience can be very powerful. They are pinpricks of light in the midst of vast darkness. The more often you allow the light to come in, the safer it feels to be free from the darkness. Fear is a habit, and this practice will guide you to make love a new habit, and in time will outweigh the pressure of fear. Bring this practice into your moment-to-moment experiences. Stay in the flow with love. Each day, set positive intentions for yourself. Intend to be more loving to your partner. Intend to have a productive workday. Intend to eat more mindfully, and so on. When you set positive intentions, you send a clear message to the universe that you're ready to receive support. Your work is done. All you have to do then is be patient, have fun, and believe in miracles. Practicing these principles doesn't mean that you won't have problems. Conflicts are also a natural part of life, and when dealt with from a place of love, incredible opportunities for learning and growth. And when you commit to this practice, you will experience problems differently. Instead of freaking out, getting frustrated, or trying to force an outcome, your habitual response will be to lean on the universe for help. You can ask the universe to reveal to you the great lessons in each problem and remind you to return to love. The more you practice the habit of leaning on a miracle mindset, the faster your comeback rate will be. The faster you come back, the happier and more peaceful you will become. Of course, it's easy to accept that we can co-create the good stuff. But what about the obstacles? What about when you're fired out of the blue or when an unexpected health condition shows up? How are we co-creating these difficult circumstances in our lives? The bad times, just like the good, are a reflection of what we believe to be true about ourselves and our relationship to the universe. Oftentimes, our difficult circumstances reflect the stress, fear, and separation that we carry. It's important to witness the difficult situations in our life through the lens of love. Choose to see them as an opportunity to surrender to your spiritual practice even more. The amount of flow and synchronicity we experience can be measured by the depth of our spiritual connection. The guidance you desire in any area of life may come quickly or it may take time. And really, the timeline doesn't matter. In fact, time is irrelevant when you're working miracles. Just stay in the flow and believe. When I reunited with Setsuko and secured the Japanese deal, there was a part of me that wasn't even surprised. My trust in love and my commitment to miracles gave me the strong faith that this manifestation was in perfect alignment with the highest good. The Japanese deal came at the perfect time for the book and for Setsuko. The universe had a plan for us, and we cleared the path to receive it. Stay committed to love and get out of the way. That's the gig, folks. It really is that simple. This empowered way of living is available to you right now. Journeying through life, co-creating your reality with the universe is immensely fulfilling. Living in collaboration with the universe can change your entire life. Let's continue your journey of heightening your faith so that you can begin to fully embrace your relationship with the universe. Here's your recap of the steps. Miracles are natural. Let the universe support you. Look for love in all the right places by repeating this prayer throughout the day. I focus my attention on the love that is around me, and I expect miracles. Practice non-interference. Miracles are habits and should be involuntary. Create your faith statement. Commit to your faith statement and recite it throughout the day. Your faith will be your greatest resource as we move into Chapter 9. In the coming pages, I invite you to begin the process of undoing fear and fully surrendering to the grace and love of the universe. Some of what I ask may seem challenging, but lean on your faith statement and we will clear the path to freedom and peace. Chapter 9, Oneness Sets You Free. 6 months into the process of writing this book, I found myself feeling like a fraud. Every so often, I'd catch something nasty sneaking its way into my conversations, my thoughts, and my interactions. Even though I was practicing the principles in this book, I felt out of alignment with my true love nature because one lingering bad habit, the habit of judgment. This judgment was a projection of a disowned part of my own shadow. It didn't matter how often I prayed, how service-oriented I'd become, or how long I meditated. My judgmental nature was blocking my connection to the universe. This behavior appeared innocent enough at first, but it left me feeling sad and disconnected. Judgment quietly but swiftly drained my happiness, reinforced a sense of separation from others, and blocked my connection to the universe. My neck hurt all the time, and I found myself getting into tense, petty arguments with my loved ones. I decided I needed to take a close look at what I was thinking, saying, and doing. I lovingly witnessed my behavior and came to realize that judgment was the cause of this disconnect. Seemingly innocent and minor moments of judgment were blocking me from my greatest resources, my presence, power, and capacity to experience the flow of love. When I began to pay attention to how judgment made me feel, I noticed that each time I judged, I came away with low energy and a sense of physical and mental weakness. A Course in Miracles says, the ego cannot survive without judgment. The ego seeks to divide and separate. Spirit seeks to unify and heal. So if judgment makes us feel separate, and compassion and understanding make us feel whole and unified, why do we spend so much time in judgment? It's partly because of the world in which we live. So much pop culture and media place a tremendous value on status, looks, and material wealth. We're made to feel less than without this or that possession. We use judgment to avoid the feeling of our own inadequacy, insecurities, and lack of self-worth. It can feel easier to make fun of someone for a perceived weakness than to look at our own sense of lack. Judgment and separation form the basis for so many of today's problems. Without judgment, we would see one another as equal. We'd have no feelings of better than or less than. We'd be one. Oneness is our true nature. When we're in tune with the feeling of oneness, then judgment and separation dissolve, and our connection to the love of the universe is restored. After witnessing how judgment weakened my power, I decided to change my ways. I put myself on a path of clearing judgment so that I could release the pattern of separation and strengthen my experience of oneness. While tough at first, in time my judgmental nature began to subside. In fact, I no longer resonated with it. Very soon after, I found myself surprised by new business opportunities, interesting connections that I had longed to make, and stronger and more intimate personal relationships. Even my neck pain began to subside. Freeing myself from judgment instantly cleared the space for more love. In some ways, releasing judgment can feel like letting go of a friend you know deep down is not good for you. Even though in your heart you know it's time to move on, you feel a sense of sadness, loss, and disorientation. It can be scary to fully let go of judgment because it is a pattern that we grow to rely on. We use judgment to avoid the feeling of our own inadequacy, insecurities, and lack of self-worth. Instead of addressing those feelings, we look at the perceived shortcomings of others so we don't have to face our own pain. However, projecting our judgment onto others only serves as a temporary reprieve. Not only do our own feelings of inadequacy not dissolve, to make matters worse, we also feel an unconscious sense of guilt for judging others. Whenever you become aware that you're not feeling at peace and your life isn't flowing naturally, that's a clue that you've decided to align with the wrong mind of judgment. Judgment shows up in many ways. For instance, any time you think another person is your source of happiness or pain, you're in judgment. Often judgment shows up as jealousy, comparison, and envy. Judgment can be sneaky, presenting itself as justification for condemning someone you believe has wronged you. However, this judgment is what keeps us in the illusion that we are separate from one another. I experienced this lesson firsthand at a dinner party. My husband and I went to a friend's home for a get-together. When we arrived, we were escorted into a small room with six people eating appetizers and having drinks. There was a woman in the group who seemed to be dominating the conversation. She was speaking loudly, boasting about her career, and making sure that the conversation revolved around her. This behavior really triggered me. I kept thinking, who does she think she is? Why is she speaking so loudly? How can I get a word in? To combat her bombastic behavior, I started to speak loudly too. I made sure everyone knew who I was and how much I had going on. I went out of my way to be seen and heard. I was so annoyed by this woman, and I became determined to make sure I could get my voice heard. Soon after, we sat down to dinner. Thankfully, the annoying woman was seated at the opposite end of the table, so I wouldn't have to listen to her ridiculous stories. Although she was far away, I noticed her staring at me throughout the meal. This made me even angrier. Why is she staring at me? After dinner, everyone stepped outside to have more drinks. Because I've been sober for nearly 10 years, I stayed inside. At the moment, the annoying woman walked over to me. Ugh, I thought. She walked up to me and said, "I noticed that you don't drink." I replied, "No, I've been sober for nearly a decade." She responded, "Me too. I've been sober for 7 years." In that moment, all separation dissolved. I recognized myself in her. I was able to see my judgment of her as a mere reaction to a disowned part of my own shadow. Her need to be seen was my need to be seen. Her attention-grabbing behavior was mine too. We were both recovering alcoholics looking for approval and at the same time, healthy, sober women proud of our recovery. Her darkness and her light were a reflection of my own. When I was able to recognize myself in her, all boundaries dissolved into oneness. This experience was a great universal lesson in releasing judgment. What you judge in others is a reflection of what you judge in yourself, whereas what you love in others is a reflection of your light. As Yogi Bhajan said, recognize the other person is you. This experience was a huge universal lesson in releasing separation. My hope is that I no longer have to go this far to remember oneness. I hope I can become more mindful of my judgmental behavior and set myself free. To truly reap the benefits of this practice, you must be open to releasing judgment in every area of your life. You can't let go of judgment except for your boss or your mother-in-law or yourself. You must surrender it all. In some areas of life, it will feel easy to let it go. In others, you'll hold on tightly. Don't worry. This is natural. Freedom from judgment can offer you so much of what you desire. Physical pain can subside, you'll experience emotional and spiritual healing, and a deep connection to the universe will be restored. A Course in Miracles says, "You have no idea of the great release and peace you will feel when you totally give up judgment." Therefore, releasing judgment is crucial if you want to be happy and free. My 4-step process will show you the way. When you commit to following the process and become willing to let go of judgment, all of it will begin to dissolve. Universal lesson. You must be willing to shed old patterns and embrace a new way of being. The lessons in the earlier chapters have prepared you for these steps. You've begun to clear the space to perceive your life with more love and deepen your connection to the universe. Releasing judgment will guide you even closer to that connection. Take a moment to access the place within that led you to pick up this book. You are guided here through your conscious or unconscious desire to feel free, to feel happy, and to reconnect with your true nature. Let that fierce desire support this process so that you can fully commit to the steps ahead. Follow this process and clear the tension, negativity, and stress that are blocking positive flow in your life. Step 1. Witness your judgment without judgment. By this point in the book, you are aware that the way you feel either blocks or attracts love into your life. When I started to witness how my judgmental nature made me feel, I could easily identify why my life wasn't flowing. Judgment made me feel weak, sad, and disconnected. It even caused me physical pain. The moment I was able to step away from the judgment and witness how it made me feel, I was able to truly understand how much it was blocking my connection to the universe. A friend was distraught because she could no longer feel her connection to the universe or her intuition. In response to her concern, I asked her to rate her daily level of judgment on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being the highest. She thought honestly for a moment and said, "You know, Gab, I never realized this before, but my judgment levels are at a 9. It feels really terrible to be disconnected from others and myself." Her honest inventory helped her see that it was judgment that was keeping her held back and stuck. Witnessing her judgment was the first step toward changing the pattern. In most cases, we don't even realize how judgmental we are. The way out of judgment begins when you witness the judgment without more judgment. Be mindful that when you take an honest inventory of your judgment, you may be tempted to criticize yourself for it or to feel shame for your thoughts and behavior. Instead, take a moment to honor yourself for having the willingness to look with love at whatever choices you've made. So let's do an inventory of how judgmental you are. Take a moment to rate your daily level of judgment from 0 to 10, 10 being the highest. Get honest with yourself about how judgmental you are. The best way to measure your level of judgment is to check into how it makes you feel. The more uncomfortable you feel when you think a judgmental thought, the higher the rating. Rate your judgment level now. Next, write down how your judgmental nature makes you feel. Review your notes. Do you see how judgment blocks your loving decisions? Can you feel how it holds you in a place of negativity and makes you believe that you are separate from others? Taking a closer look at the way judgment brings you down will strengthen your desire to rise up. In contrast, love accepts. Whenever you notice yourself caught up in judgment or attack, remember that you chose to see it from a sense of separation and fear. Once you've accepted that you made that choice, the only important thing is to choose again. Ask yourself, do I look through the eyes of love or the eyes of judgment? Accept that you chose the teacher of fear over the teacher of love. Be mindful not to judge your fear with more fear. Don't get upset with yourself for making this choice. Instead, celebrate the fact that you recognize the misguided choice you made and that you're on the pathway to freedom. Step 2, forgive the thought. Let yourself off the hook for the judgment that you made. The Course says, every communication is either an extension of love or a call for love. When you attack with judgment, you're really just looking for love. The search for love is your true intent behind the attack because deep down, all you want is to protect yourself from not feeling loved. It's also the intent of the person you believe has attacked you. Both of you are simply looking for love. At its core, attack is a call for help. The Course says, love always answers. Being unable to deny a call for help or not to hear the cries of pain that rise to it from every part of this strange world you made but do not want. I want to reiterate this point. Attack, pain, fear, judgment, and any form of separation are merely calls for help. When you're in physical pain, you know that your pain calls for relief. The same goes for judgment. It's a form of emotional pain that you want to relieve. Whether you realize it or not, you do not want to remain sick, sad, and fearful. You want to be free. Witness your judgment without judgment. Accept that you have chosen fear and be open to receive the help you're calling for. This brings us to forgiveness. In any given moment that you witness yourself in judgment, you can become free by simply forgiving the thought. Forgive yourself for having the thought and even forgive the thought altogether. Recognize that the thought did not come from your highest self. Honor your judgmental self and remember that you're merely looking for love. Then, as quickly as possible, choose to forgive the thought. You don't need to hold on to the thought. You don't need to replay it. You can forgive it in an instant. This simple desire seamlessly leads you into the holy instant. Welcome the holy instant with a prayer. I recognize that I have chosen wrongly. I forgive this thought and I choose again. I choose love. The presence of fear is your resistance to love. The way back to love is through surrendering to the holy instant. The instant you choose love over fear, you rise above illusion and separation and realign instead with oneness. Simply saying this prayer may offer you immediate relief. Step 3. See for the first time. We judge others and ourselves through the lens of our past by projecting old experiences onto our current circumstances. This is no different than judging the world through the lens of fear. If, for instance, you had an authority issue with your mother growing up, you may project that same issue today onto your boss by resenting her authority. We begin to heal our judgment toward others when we accept that people are our teachers in the classroom that is our life. Making that commitment allows us to look differently on our situations. Witness how we drag the past into the current moment and then choose again. We can choose to look at a person or situation as if we are seeing it for the first time. Imagine how free you would be if you didn't bring your past with you into your relationships or into each encounter. Practice saying this prayer before every encounter that triggers the shadow from your past. I want to see this person for the first time. When you practice seeing someone for the first time, you release them from the false projections you've placed on them and the beliefs that separate you. Instead of seeing others through the lens of the past, see them as someone calling out for love. Remember that you're both caught in the same cycle of fear and you're both desperately seeking a way out. That way is through love. When spiritual teachers talk of mankind being one, the oneness to which they refer is our one desire to be happy and free. We all share the same desire and the same fear. If more of us began to choose love, then oneness would be restored. It starts with you. You have a major part in the healing of the world. The more oneness you create in your life, the more light you shine on everyone around you. I believe this is our biggest mission here on Earth, to choose love, restore oneness, and shine our light. This brings us to the final step, a meditation for oneness. Step 4, meditation for oneness. To close out the judgment clearing process, follow this beautiful Kundalini meditation. This meditation is designed to remind us that we all have a shared essence that is beyond our physical sight. Practice this meditation and reconnect to the essence to experience oneness in this moment. Let's practice the meditation now. Sit comfortably, cross-legged on the floor with a straight spine. Place your right fist at your side with the index finger pointing up, and place the left hand over the heart center. You can also do this meditation sitting back to back with a partner. Focus your eyes on the brow point. I recommend that you play the song I Am Thine by Jai Jagdish. You can access the music at gabbybernstein.com/universe. The mantra is, Hami Hum Tumi Tum Wahe Guru. I am thine, in mine, myself, Wahe Guru. This meditation celebrates the connection we have to others through our shared connection to the universe. Hami Hum tunes us into our own consciousness. Tumi Tum accepts that we are one with the other person's consciousness. Wahe Guru means that we are both connected to the universe. Then we chant, I am thine, in mine, to project our consciousness of our personal self to the infinite self. Then the world confirms that we are one with the universe. Finally, we celebrate this universal connection with Wahe Guru. Chant with the music for 11 minutes or less. If you're new to chanting mantras, give it a try. I fell in love with Kundalini yoga and meditation because of the mantras. I lose myself in the mantra, and I remember my interconnectedness with the universe. I chose this specific Kundalini meditation to conclude the judgment clearing process so that you can have an intimate experience of what it truly feels like to release the walls of separation and realign with the oneness in your relationships. Practice these 4 steps and stick around for the miracles. Freedom is available to you instantly. It will continue to unfold as you stay committed to releasing judgment. Remember that judgment is a nasty habit. The more you practice these principles, the weaker the habit will be and the more freedom you will experience. I recently had a wonderful experience putting my 4-step process into practice. It was at an 11-day spiritual retreat in San Diego. When the course was complete, I felt awesome and super connected to the universe. But then I arrived at the airport to return home and saw that my flight was delayed 3 hours. It didn't even faze me because I was still in a high vibe zone from all the meditating and spiritual lessons I'd practiced that week. I sat down to read and relax while I patiently waited out my delay. An hour later, it was announced that the flight had been delayed 12 more hours. My noon flight would now be leaving at midnight, which meant I'd have to take a red eye back to New York. Even though I hate red eyes and airports in general, I maintained my calm and surrendered to the change in plans. I had 8 more hours to spend in the airport, and I did my best to relax and get some work done. An hour later, I went to the desk to ask about my flight. The attendant replied with a negative attitude and brushed me off as if I was wasting her time. Immediately, this sent me into an ego separation, aka diva mode. I jumped into judgment and began thinking thoughts like, "How dare you treat me like this?" Separation, judgment, and attack set in. To avoid making a scene, I walked away to grab dinner. An hour later, I returned to the gate to get the update on the flight. By this time, I'd been in the airport for more than 7 hours, and I had several more hours to go. I was doing my best to maintain my Zen attitude, and I peacefully walked up to the desk to ask the attendant for guidance. There were 2 new flight attendants standing at the desk, but as I walked up, the rude attendant from earlier stepped in. She looked at me with an attitude of disgust and said, What do you want now? This sent me into a tizzy. I looked at her and said, you know I've been here for 7 hours and my flight has been delayed for 12. You know I'm exhausted and I'm desperate to get home. The least you could do is be polite. She went on to assert her authority and tell me that I had been asking too many questions and I needed to calm down. At this point, I got a serious attitude and replied, I'm one of this airline's best customers. I would hope that you could be kinder given my 12-hour delay. She wasn't interested in my response or my nasty tone. At that point, I stormed off. Raising my voice and fighting back did not feel good. The moment I walked away from the desk, I burst into tears. I felt defeated, exhausted, and sad. I sat down for a moment and tapped into my body. I asked myself why I felt so sad. Was it because I didn't get my way? Because I was disrespected? No. I felt this way because I succumbed to the ego's sense of separation. I let judgment take the lead. This moment of recognition and my willingness to see my part in the situation was the first step in clearing the aftermath of my judgment outbreak. The second step was my acknowledgement of how this judgment made me feel. Disappointed, physically ill, and saddened. I was ready to move into the third step of letting go of the shadows of the past. In that moment, I decided to see the airline attendant as if I was meeting her for the first time. I chose to see her with no separation. Rather than perceiving her as separate, I chose to see her as one with me. Once again, I heard the words of Yogi Bhajan ringing in my ear, "Recognize the other person is you. Recognize the other person is you." For further guidance, I called on the Holy Instant for support. I said my prayer. I recognize that I have chosen wrongly. I forgive this thought and I choose again. I choose love. Instantly, I felt better. I guess that's why they call it the Holy Instant. I sat in the meditation, listened to my mantra, and allowed the presence of love to settle back in. A glowing sense of peace passed over me. I no longer felt resentment and instead felt a deep connection. I heard the voice of my inner wisdom say, "She is you. Her pain is yours. Her suffering is yours. And you both want the same thing, to return to peace." I came out of my meditation and the judgment had lifted. I could see her as me and I was free. At this point, I calmly read my book and relaxed. A little while later, when I walked past the front desk where she sat, I felt a presence behind my shoulders slow me down. Without thought or planning, I stood in front of the desk, looked her in the eye, and said, "I apologize for speaking to you that way. It was inappropriate, and I hope you can forgive me." She smiled with joy and replied, "I'm sorry you're having such a hard day, and please let me know how I can make it better." This was a miracle moment. I left the airport that night exhausted, hungry, and a little closer to God. This practice of releasing judgment dissolves all boundaries with love. It brings us back to the truth that we're all in it together. We all suffer. We all feel unworthy and abandoned. Calling on the Holy Instant allows us to remember that we are all the same, and so we should be kind to one another. Identifying this sameness is what allows us to shift our focus from separation to love. The same way we share the thought system of fear, we also share the loving mind. Most important, we share the same capacity to choose love over fear. As my dear teacher, Kenneth Wapnick, said, "We see that we all have the same interest of awakening from the dream of unkindness and returning to the kindness who created us kind." Let's recap the four steps. Be willing to release judgment and accept that you have chosen fear. Forgive the judgmental thought with this prayer. "I recognize that I have chosen fear and I choose again. I choose love." Let go of the shadow of the past by seeing someone for the first time with the eyes of love. Practice the Kundalini meditation and recognize the other person is you. This four-step process can set you free one moment at a time. Each time we release judgment and return to love, we experience a miracle. When we add up these miracle moments, we get more deeply aligned with our true nature and the support of the universe. Whenever you practice clearing judgment, a loving answer and solution will come through for you. As the Course says, all the angels in heaven will come to your aid. Let love guide everything you say and do. In Chapter 10, I guide you to see how your conscious connection to love can clear the path for peace and harmony. Chapter 10, You Are the Universe. I once spent a week in a training course with my friend and teacher, Deepak Chopra. The first day of the training, Deepak told us to pair up with a partner and then ask each other a series of questions. My partner was a young woman named Elsa. During the exercise, one partner was asked to whisper a question again and again in the other person's ear, and their partner was meant to respond with whatever thoughts jumped into their mind. We began the exercise with the question, "Who are you?" Slowly, Elsa began to whisper in my ear, "Who are you?" And my response was, "I am Gabrielle Bernstein." She went on, "Who are you?" I replied, "I'm Gabby." She repeated this question a few more times, and I continued to respond with answers that described me, my personality, and who I perceived myself to be in the world. Then Elsa moved on to the next question. "What do you want?" I replied, "I want a snack." She continued, "What do you want?" I replied, "I want a nap." This ridiculous Q&A went on. "What do you want?" "I want a full night's sleep." "What do you want?" "I want a coffee." "What do you want?" "Did I say I want a nap?" After several rounds of questioning, we ended the exercise and went back to our seats. I remember feeling terrible afterward. I thought, I'm at a spiritual retreat and all I can think about is when I can get a snack. I didn't have much time to lament my poor performance during the exercise because Deepak immediately led us into a group meditation. He guided us to repeat a mantra and release any attachments we had to the previous exercises. Within a few minutes, I began to feel relief. Then I slipped into a silent place of stillness in between the thoughts. The space where nothing matters. The space where I feel free. I relaxed into the stillness and let go of all the pretenses I built up around myself. In that moment, I was one with the universe. Suddenly, a loud inner voice spoke up and said, "I am one with the universe, and I want to get closer to consciousness." I had realigned with the energy of the universe long enough to remember my true nature. I came out of my meditation remembering that I am one with the universe, and I want to get closer to that truth. This involuntary response instantly brought me to tears. In the presence of truth, all fear disappeared, all separation released, and all judgment dissolved. In that instant, I was free. Later that week, during my training with Deepak, I had the opportunity to sit down with him for a private conversation. I told him about all the spiritual quests I'd been on, all the paths I had chosen, and all that I had believed to be true. I said, "Is it okay that I followed A Course in Miracles, Kundalini Yoga, John of God, and many other spiritual thought systems? Is it okay that I haven't committed to one specific path?" He replied, "Of course it's okay. You do whatever it takes to get closer to consciousness." Deepak was right. Our work is to do whatever it takes to get closer to consciousness, and each of us does it in our own unique way. Every exercise in this book has been a gentle guide bringing you closer to consciousness to remind you of who you truly are. You are the loving energy of the universe. This truth can blindside us when we least expect it, in fleeting moments on our meditation pillow, or in an instant when we choose to release judgment and forgive. Wouldn't it be nice to feel that connection more often? Our connection to love is often just a whisper amid the noisy chaos of our mind. Fear and separation are a pattern that must be interrupted on a moment-to-moment basis. When we fully commit to shift the pattern through prayer and meditation, we begin to rely on love more than fear. Love becomes our default, and we can redirect our thoughts and energy quickly to return to our truth. This book has offered you a pathway toward releasing the falseness of the world and remembering the truth, which is love. Don't judge your path. Don't try to be perfect. Just focus on your commitment to tuning into the frequency of the universe. Universal lesson: you are one with the universe. The way to knowing your truth is to allow the voice of love to echo through every single thought you have. Even when you detour into fear, which you will do all day long, commit to the voice of love the moment you witness that you've chosen wrongly. Don't tolerate the fearful wanderings of your mind any longer. Make love your priority. Think about how different your life would be if you were fully committed to love throughout the day. Imagine waking up in the morning and instead of turning on the news, over-caffeinating and checking your phone, you began the day with a devotion, a prayer, a meditative moment. My teacher, Marianne Williamson, says, when we give time to a quieting experience, we have a different life because we have a different nervous system. Tuning into the love of the universe lowers our stress levels, restores our cells, and reorganizes our energy. Conscious contact with love interrupts the pattern of fear and returns us to our true nature. Although this book may seem as if it contains many lessons and exercises, there's really only one. Choose love. Each practice brings you closer to it. Each prayer, meditation, and exercise helps you shift your focus away from perceiving yourself as separate from the love of the universe. The Course teaches, fear can never enter in a mind that has attached itself to love. Each time you shift your focus back to love, you release your sense of separation and realign. When you're in alignment with the love of the universe, peace cannot be disrupted. No person, situation, or circumstance can take away your peace of mind. This isn't an easy concept to grasp because we believe so deeply in fear and separation. We believe we can be harmed, and we protect ourselves at all costs. At the level of the mind, we can never be harmed because in any moment we can choose love. The more we stay committed to love, the more we believe in it. I can say this with conviction. I have committed my life to unlearning fear and releasing my separate perceptions of myself. Each new day offers me great spiritual assignments that, when faced with prayer and devotion, bring me closer to consciousness. Even in this moment, as I read these words, I'm reinforcing that connection. We are all connected in that we have the same problem and the same solution. Our problem is that we detoured into fear and believed we are separate and unsafe in this world. While we may have this problem, we also have the same solution. The solution lies in the decision-making part of our mind that chooses love. It doesn't matter where you are on your spiritual journey. Whether you're a longtime spirit junkie or a first-time reader, you can accept this truth now. You are one with the love of the universe. Our spiritual path leads us to spiritual sight. This is when we begin to relinquish our faith in our perceptions of the world to see strength rather than weakness, oneness rather than separation, and love rather than fear. At the beginning of this book, the voice of love was probably distant and hard to hear. But the more you lean toward love, the more you begin to see with spiritual sight, listen with the voice of love, and live more joyously and free. This is what it means to release your perception of separateness and accept you are one with the universe. Stringing together those moments of true connection is how we begin to see the world through the lens of love rather than the lens of fear. Even when situations baffle us, we have the power to quickly return to love. Now is the time to crank up the volume on your truth and turn down the volume on the voice of fear and separation. So choose it. Fully surrender to your spiritual nature, your purpose, your passion, and a deep connection to the universe. By this point in your practice, you're ready to embrace your true connection. These steps are designed to deepen your faith that you are one with the love of the universe. Step 1, a prayer for truth. Prayer is the pathway to love. This prayer acts as an intermediary between your feelings of separation and your truth. Use this prayer as an invisible guide back to love. Let each word sink into your psyche. Recite this prayer out loud to yourself. A prayer for truth. I call on the energy of the universe to guide my thoughts back to love. I surrender the false perceptions I have placed upon myself. I forgive these thoughts and I know that I am love. I am peace. I am compassion. I am the universe. Following the prayer, settle back into the energy of love through the following meditation. Step 2, meditation to connect to the universe. You can open up your heart to love through this beautiful Kundalini meditation. This meditation will foster a deep emotional and physical connection to the universe. Kundalini is the yoga of awareness. I'm a student and teacher of Kundalini yoga because the meditations and practices instantly bring me closer to consciousness. This Kundalini meditation will move stagnant energy and get you directly aligned with the universe. The posture in the meditation opens your heart to reconnect you to your true nature and oneness with the universe. I recommend practicing this meditation with the song Hallelujah, found at GabbyBernstein.com/universe. Old Gypsy Way of Calling on the Spirit of Mother Earth, originally taught by Yogi Bhajan on July 4th, 1994. This meditation is meant to help you invoke the loving spirit of the universe. Sit comfortably cross-legged on the floor with a straight spine and a straight neck. Raise your arms up 60 degrees from horizontal, elbows and wrists straight. Stretch the body forward slightly from the plane of the body. The angle of the palms follow the angle of the arms. The fingers are straight and together, thumbs relaxed. A picture is available of this posture at GabbyBernstein.com/universe. Stay still and imagine a flame at the heart center. Breathe consciously, long and deep. Sit in this meditation for 3 minutes. To end the meditation, inhale deeply. Hold your breath for 15 seconds. Exhale. Inhale deeply. Feel in your connection to the universe. Hold your breath for 15 seconds. Exhale. Inhale deep. Feel the taste of the sweetness of life. Hold for 15 seconds. Exhale. Following this meditation, lie on your back and rest for several minutes. This is called Savasana. I believe that Savasana is the most important pose because it's where we can relax into the energy of love. Take your time to lie on your back with your palms facing upward and allow the presence of light and love to pour through you. It's possible that you may feel a tingling sensation in your palms given the activation of your hands in the meditation. Let the loving flow of energy pass over your body and relax into Savasana. In these moments of genuine release, you can reorganize your nervous system and realign your connection to love. Step 3. Truth is your name. After several minutes of rest, slowly bring your awareness back to your body. Roll your wrists and ankles in circles and gently come to a seated position. In this seated position, continue to feel your connection to the universe. When you're seated, take a deep breath in and say out loud, Sat Nam. Closing a practice with this Kundalini mantra identifies your truth. Sat means truth. Nam means name. The mantra is translated as truth is my name. It is simply an acknowledgement that the magnificence of the universe is the truth of who you are. Following this practice, you may feel a deeper sense of interconnectedness. If even for a fleeting moment you felt free, then you're one moment closer to consciousness. Yogi Bhajan said, "In the flow of deep meditation, my nectar thoughts are filled with God." Practice this meditation often, and in time your connection to the universe will become more present in your life. You may even want to practice it for 40 days straight. This meditation has the power to offer you a direct line back to your spiritual nature. It can remind you that you are the light of the universe. In any given moment, you can remember your truth by returning to your mantra, Sat Nam, or the translation, Truth is my name. To remain happy and free, we must be in communion with our truthful connection as often as possible. This gentle reminder will bring you back home. Practice repeating the mantra, Sat Nam, whenever you're out of alignment with the universe. The vibration of the mantra, Sat Nam, manifests truth into your physical experience. The vibration of Sat reaches up to the ether, calling on your connection to the universe. Nam is a grounding vibration that acknowledges that you can bring the energy of the universe into your day-to-day experience of the world. Bring forth your truth in every corner of your life. Bring peace with you wherever you go. Step 4. Walk the path of humility. To truly flourish on your spiritual path, you must embody humility. Knowing that you're one with the universe means that you accept that you're not more special than or separate from others. This may be one of the most challenging spiritual assignments as we've grown to believe in the stories of who we think we are. Humility doesn't come easily. At least it didn't for me. While I spent many years deeply committed to my spiritual path, I was equally committed to the outward pretenses I'd built up around myself. Deep down, I knew that this ego perception was blocking my connection to love, but it wasn't an easy habit to kick. Thankfully, the universe presented me with a divine assignment that forced me to seek humility, shed my ego, and get right-sized. Here's how it happened. Not long ago, I was left out of an event organized by a prominent teacher in my field that featured a few of my contemporaries. The fact that I wasn't asked to participate seriously bruised my ego. And while I wouldn't admit it to anyone, I was really upset by what I considered a missed opportunity. I asked my publicist to look into it and find out why I was left off the roster. After a little digging, she called me and said, "Gab, this is a little strange." When I asked them why they didn't consider you, the women in charge of the event looked at each other silently for a second and then responded that they felt you were self-entitled. I responded with a defensive tone, "Why would they think that? I never did anything wrong." She replied, "They said it was the vibe they got from you." I sat with this issue for several hours and allowed myself to move through the emotions of frustration and anger. I was defensive, embarrassed, and confused. I couldn't understand what I'd done to make them think that. After processing my feelings, I chose to seek a spiritual solution. I asked the universe to show me my assignment. Through deep contemplation and an honest inventory of my behavior, I looked closely at my part in the situation. Even though I thought I'd done nothing wrong, I remembered that our vibes speak louder than our words. I got really honest about the ways that I perceived myself as special and separate. I got honest about my lack of humility. I came to realize how this extremely uncomfortable situation was the perfect assignment to bring me to my knees and surrender to humility once and for all. Humbly surrendering was the only way I was going to see the shadow that needed to be brought to the light. I called on a message from my Great A Course in Miracles teacher, Kenneth Wapnick. "We should be grateful for all situations that make us the most uncomfortable, because without them, we would not know there is something unhealed in us." I allow this discomfort to lead me back to my truth. This universal assignment helped me commit to the path of humility. I could no longer try to dance between spiritual humility and my worldly ego. It was time to surrender it all and accept my purpose, to be love and spread love. Without humility, I would never know what it truly meant to be one with the universe. Now I devote each day to humbly surrendering to the care of the universe. In my morning prayers, I turn over my perceptions of myself, I release my needs and expectations, and I allow the universe to take over. This daily devotion keeps me connected to who I really am. Walking the path of humility doesn't mean that you give up on greatness. In fact, it means that you embrace your true magnitude and power, the power that lies in your devoted connection to love. Truly accepting your love nature requires you to relinquish all the stories and pretenses you've created about yourself. It's challenging, but trust that even a brief moment of connection is enough. Many folks who begin to open up to metaphysical truths get scared about giving up the ideas of the world and connecting to love. That feeling is not your truth. It's the voice of fear trying to stay alive. Your faith and fear will make you resist your connection to love in order to keep you in the perception that you're separate from the love of the universe. It's terrifying to let go of the beliefs you've held on to for your lifetime, but your happiness and peace depend on releasing those ideas. This brings us back to where we began with our resistance to love. Remember that fear will resist love, especially when love becomes more present in your life. Simply be aware of your fearful resistance and commit to walking the humble path. Your human experience is part of your spiritual journey, so you don't have to walk through life expecting to live in divine connection all the time. Aim to string together many moments of consciousness to ultimately remember that you are the spirit of love, having a human experience. Let's invite in a moment of consciousness now and give yourself permission to accept your magnitude. As a gentle reminder of how limitless you are, listen to this passage from A Course in Miracles. "To use the power God has given you as He would have you use it is natural. It is not arrogant to be as He created you, but it is arrogant to lay aside the power He gave and choose a little senseless wish instead of what He wills. The gift of God to you is limitless. There is no circumstance it cannot answer and no problem which is not resolved within its gracious light." Each day, do your best to stay in communication with the universe. Spend time leaning toward the potential positive outcomes rather than all that you expect can go wrong. Turn to prayer when you're in doubt, and meditate to deepen your connection. Whenever you find yourself caught up in conflict, choose to seek creative solutions. Your devotion to your practice will keep you in constant contact with the support of the universe. Your level of happiness and peace will be a direct reflection of your spiritual practice. Devoting your days to your inner life will bring you joy. Even though you may still deeply identify as a separate person having a unique experience, you can hold a small place in your consciousness for the truth. That belief is enough to keep you on the path. Let's recap the lessons from this chapter. Do whatever it takes to get closer to consciousness. Experience your interconnectedness. Practice the prayer for truth and the Kundalini meditation to heighten your experiential connection with the universe. Remember that truth is your name. Practice the mantra Sat Nam to stay committed to your true nature. Walk a path of humility to stay centered in your universal truth. Remember the words of Deepak Chopra. Do whatever it takes to get closer to consciousness. Stay consistent with your conscious contact to the universe, and you will be set free. In Chapter 11, you'll deepen that connection through the practice of surrender. Chapter 11. When you think you've surrendered, surrender more. Right around the time that I began writing this book, my husband and I also began trying to conceive. I had it all perfectly planned. My expectation was to get pregnant right away and then cut back on traveling so that I could relax at home while spending time working on the book and enjoying my pregnancy. I was very committed to this plan. I canceled speaking engagements, said no to big opportunities, and otherwise took things off my plate to free up my time to care for myself. My goals were set and the plan was airtight. But there was one problem. I didn't get pregnant. Month after month, I rearranged my goals and expectations to try to stay on course with my pregnancy plans. I'd tell all my friends that we were consciously conceiving, but it was really more like unconsciously controlling. While I felt strongly that I was meant to be a mother, and I intuitively knew that there was a soul ready to become our child, I still couldn't release the plan. I became obsessed with the timing. Otherwise, how would I fit pregnancy and a child into my busy life? This future tripping got the best of me. Each month when I realized I wasn't pregnant, I'd go back to zero, break out my calendar, look 9 months ahead, and stress out about the time, which I tried desperately to control so that this major life experience wouldn't be inconvenient. My need to control the plan totally cut off my communication with the universe. I silently judged myself for not getting pregnant, and I compared myself with everyone around me who was conceiving. Worst of all, I'd walk around telling everyone how much faith I had that I'd be a mother when deep down I was suppressing an unspeakable fear that it would never happen. About 9 months into the process of trying to conceive, I went to a New Year's Eve party with friends from college. All the couples there had children except for my husband and me. I felt like an outsider, left out of this phase of life. I sat through dinner comparing myself to everyone at the table and feeling totally defeated. I woke up the next morning, New Year's Day, and got my period. Here I was again, another month gone by, countless plans reorganized, and still no baby. I spent the first half of the day deeply depressed. I felt caught in a shameful silence with no outlet. My friend Jordan was staying at my house, and somehow I found the courage to tell him how I was feeling. Within moments of sharing my feelings with him, he gently guided me to witness the ways that I'd let fear and the need to control block me from love. He reminded me that instead of comparing myself with friends with children, that I should celebrate them. In the celebration of their love, I would recognize it as my own. Our conversation helped me see how my fixed, rigid agenda had made me lose hope. After talking to Jordan, I turned to the love of the universe for healing. I prayed and asked for help in releasing my own plan and accepting a plan far greater. In the stillness following my prayer, I heard my inner voice say, "Your plans are in the way of God's plans." I could see clearly how I'd been blocking my higher plan. I accepted this message as a new universal assignment and embraced the spiritual growth that was presented to me. As humans, we love to set goals and make plans. It's a smart way to keep our minds organized and not let small daily snags throw us off kilter. But when we fixate too much on achieving our goals and sticking to our plans, we get in our own way. We become convinced that we know what's best. We relentlessly pursue the path of our ego, that loud and misguided voice. And we do it at the expense of cutting off communication with the universe. This behavior keeps us from manifesting what is of the highest good for all. In order to allow the presence of love to shine on every area of our lives, we must remember that hope never rests. Hope is the energy that carries us when we lose sight of our spiritual faith. Hope reminds us of the power of love and clears the path toward the highest good for all. Universal lesson: goals overshadow guidance. The part of